The three readings are all about repentance. The key word that they use is the knowledge of God. If we don't know God, we won't repent. We'll be sorry, we'll be scared, we'll be lots of things. But repentance is none of those. You see, we have this beautiful text in the prophet Hosea. Come, let us return to the Lord. Shuvu. Because you see, that's repentance in Hebrew, is to return. In Greek, it's to have a different mindset. But in Hebrew, it's come back. Come back to the Lord. Our sins, you see, He will heal us. He has struck us, but He will bind our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days. And on the third day, He will raise us up to live in His presence. Israel is raised up in Christ when Jesus rises from the dead. We are still praying for the fulfillment of that action of God by which Israel is raised up. See? Now, let us strive to know the Lord. Now, know the Lord. What does that mean? Origen, this huge mystic and theologian of the very early centuries of the church, still one of our top heavy hitters, still. Pope Benedict has devoted two or three different Wednesday morning discourses to him. Knowledge in Scripture means contact. Contact. It's a living experience. Knowledge is contact. But it has two dimensions. One is acknowledgement, and the other is perception. It's a beautiful text in Jeremiah. In fact, if you're following the meditations in that little book of mine, I give the whole passage there. He's talking to the king who followed Josiah. The word of the Lord from Jeremiah. Your father took care of the poor. He honored my name. He went to the temple. He administered justice. Is this not to know me, says the Lord? You see, it's perception and acknowledgement. We have an example in 1 John, right? The man who says he knows me and hates his brother is a liar. Because knowledge of me is love of your brother. Don't you understand? And so, let us strive to know the Lord. Huh? Now it goes on, and it's this one of these lines in here that is for this whole passage. The Lord, that the church interprets our Lord's parable. You see, what can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your chesed, translated piety here, but well, when we don't have the reality, all the words just hit the outside of the target, you know. Chesed means an enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. That's what it means. The new covenant. This is my covenant. Now, who is the one who most shows forth chesed? God. No one is as enthusiastically faithful to the covenant as God is. You know that psalm we have, 136, for his great love is without end? You know that one, right? He created the world. He redeemed us. He gave us the land. Ki la'olam chasto. Because his hesed is forever. So when it says here, you see, your piety, your chesed, are you enthusiastic about the covenant we've made? Do you obey me because you love me? Chesed. It's a precious word. So then it goes on. For it is love that I desire. Same thing. It's chesed that I desire. Not sacrifice. Knowledge of God rather than burnt offering. So can you see that it's not enough to be observant and say that's knowledge of God? Because as Origen already pointed out, you see, it's contact. Now the church takes that text as a commentary to help us understand what prayer is. You see, this is such a beautiful parable. And it reveals something about our Lord's heart. He's enthusiastic when he gets down to this line. And he says, you see, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can you hear the enthusiasm in his heart? That's prayer. That's somebody who knows my Father. So our temptation is, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like that Pharisee over there. You know? Which means we qualify. See, it's knowledge. But knowledge, you see, it's got two things. See, acknowledgement. I acknowledge your authority. I will do what you tell me to do. I will keep the covenant. And perception. Contact. You see? That's it. You see, so we have, you know the story. And it's so artfully said. Pharisee stood up in the front. I don't know why he took up his position. And spoke this prayer to himself. Of course he had to speak it to himself. God's not listening to him. You see, I thank you, God, because I am so observant. That's not the covenant. I keep all the rules and regulations, and I pay my tithes, and I do this. You do everything, but know God. Pray today. Read this over. This is Luke. Luke 18. And pray that our Lord give you a sense. It happened to me once. That's why I keep talking about it. As I read that line, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I felt the enthusiasm of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's prayer. Jesus prayed like that. How could he pray like that? He doesn't have any sins. He belongs to us. We got plenty. It's the same at his baptism, isn't it? John, you shouldn't be, let it be. Look, John, I am a member of a sinful people. And I never take my distance from them. They are my people. Now, he says, they are my body. So until everything is restored, there is a new heaven and a new earth, and heaven is chock-a-block full, he's identified, he has to be, with sinners. That's all he's got. There is a grace here, you see. A grace. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's chesed. You see, that's really knowing God. And that's why I desire that knowledge of God rather than sacrifice. You know, the whole Benedictine rule, the rule of Saint Benedict, is founded on humility. That's the whole rule. Now, in one place, there are these instruments of good works. Pray, fast, read. There are 73 of these good works listed in the chapter. I think it's 4. You know what the last one is? The last good work? Et de misericordia Dei numquam desperare. And never despair of the mercy of God. That's a good work. And where does it arise from? Self-knowledge. Anybody who knows himself knows we're all hanging by the mercy of God.